From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for July 22nd, 2022. The Colorado Rockies are in town for a four-game series with the Brewers. And besides Brewer baseball, there's a ton of stuff going on. It's Food Truck Fest this Saturday at the Summerfest Grounds. Also this Saturday, it's the Air and Water Show with the Blue Angels at the lakefront. And with a little luck, we'll hear them fly by our window. And not to be outdone, Waukesha County Fair continues this weekend. Well, someone we never heard of is famous today. Bob Salem made history by becoming the first person in the 21st century to push a peanut up Pike's Peak with a spoon taped to his nose. His parents must be so proud. A Houston man bought a COVID-19 mask, put it on in the store, then proceeded to rob the same store clerk that just sold him the mask. His teachers must be so proud. A brand of Chinese ice cream has come under fire because it doesn't melt, even if you take a blowtorch to it. What's even weirder about this non-melting ice cream, it meets all Chinese food safety and health regulations. Someone passed the Ben and Jerry's. And the former head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, said one economic indicator is in men's underwear. Let me explain. Greenspan likes to use the underwear index to determine if a recession is on the horizon. When money is tight, one of the first things men do is stop buying new tighty-whities. And remember, we should all listen to our moms and put on clean underwear every day in case we get hit by a bus. And finally, our goofy headline of the week, man sues McDonald's for still being depressed after eating Happy Meal. On the podcast today, we have Steve Giles, Paige Radke, Joel Dreesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Brian Kilb.
Thanks, Max. Yeah, busy weekend, and we will probably hear jets flying by, right? I mean, they've been buzzing around the last hour or two. It's kind of fun to watch them, but pretty decent week after a tough start to the year. It's nice to take a deep breath this week and make some money back. The NASDAQ was up 3.3% to close at 11,834. That's 382 points for the week. The S&P 500 up almost 100 points. That's 2.6% to finish. There you go. There's a jet or two. At 3962, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2%. That's 613 points to finish at 31,899. And the 10-year Treasury settled a little bit starting the week, yielding 2.93% and ended up at 2.78%. Thought maybe today we'd take a deep breath, kind of get a feel for where we're at, pretty near the middle of the year. Had an investment committee meeting for a institution I do some work with, and it's always kind of fun for me because for once I get to be on the asking side of the equation, not the answering side of the equation. But the advisor in the room for this meeting, great guy, after giving his presentation, kind of made some comments about what he thought might be the next few months leading to a soft landing and gave some pretty optimistic perspective on things. So he left the room, and then we always have this kind of post-discussion, which got pretty ugly because one of the guys was like, hey, I don't agree with any of that, and labor's bad, and inflation's bad, and the world's going to end. And everybody kind of chimed in and got to be a pretty negative discussion, which I find happens often these days. And then when it got to be my turn at the end, I was kind of like, hey, I kind of agree with them. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff going on that will put a floor underneath some of the bad news. I think in the next few months, we're going to move past, you know, some of the worst of the inflation news and whatever. And then the room kind of stopped, and the CEO of the company. Now, again, I've been on this committee for like 3 years, so it's 3 years going back to the peak of valuations, going back to when the markets were up 20, 30%. I'm like telling everybody to relax because things are starting to look a bit sketchy. And now I'm starting to see around the corner a little bit, and everybody else is losing their mind. So I think, you know, kind of a funny perspective, kind of a funny story. But the CEO looks at me and she's like, you usually the most negative guy in the room, and now you're pretty optimistic. And I'm like, well, that's the last 3 years. The next 3 years, maybe I will be the most optimistic guy in the room. But just as a story, you know, if you look at consumer sentiment and you look at where people's heads are, they're pretty negative. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe we're going to move past some of this stuff. And I think in my own mind, I've hit an inflection point and I'm starting to look the other way. And so, you know, a lengthy story, but I'm curious as we begin today where your heads are at in terms of how do you feel and how do your clients feel and do you feel different than they do or mm-hmm. or what? Steve, you've been around a while. Tell me what's going on.
Well, Brian, I think your story is telling because as humans, we are always victims of our most recent perceptions. And the last 6 months have certainly been tough for investors. And that's our most recent perception. You know, if the market keeps going down, it's just going to keep going down and keep going down. And what's there to be positive about when we got to pay more for gas and we got to pay more for food and inflation is high? Where we get trained as advisors to try to look past all that and look through the noise, isn't it interesting that this week the market had a positive week, first time in a while. And as we all know, the market is a leading indicator. The market does not reflect what has been happening, but where they see the economy headed, where they see stocks headed. And I think with respect to the market, they may be at this point where they're writing off 2022. They're pretty done with it. You know, where is the Fed going to be 9 months from now with respect to interest rates? And the 2 big months recently with regard to inflation numbers, 8.6% in May, 9.1% in
big
June.
Numbers.
Big yeah. numbers. It means the Fed's going to have to be more aggressive quicker, which means the Fed is that much closer to being done getting back to what they would consider neutral monetary policy, which means the market sees a light at the end of this tunnel.
Paige, where, from your perch, how do you feel these days? Where do you see things?
You know, Brian, we talked about this a little bit earlier this week where, you know, we all know the term be greedy while others are fearful and fearful while others are greedy. And so, you know, I start reflecting on when am I fearful? And as it turns out, I tend to live by that mentality just in general. As I'm talking to clients, you know, I was a lot more fearful looking back when, like you said, valuations were high. We just kind of had this Goldilocks mentality chugging along. And, you know, I just kept kind of waiting to say, well, when's the shoe going to drop? How long can valuations stay this high? Is this the new normal? And that made me very nervous. So, you know, listening to me on the podcast, I sound pretty negative now because those are just the news stories that I'm reading and that's what I find interesting. But as I'm talking to clients, I'm pointing out that I'm less fearful today than I was, you know, 1, 2, 3 years ago. And the big reason is things are working the way that they're supposed to. We do have an unprecedented time. We have a lot of mixed economic data. We've had a start to the year where, you know, both bonds and stocks are down double digits, and none of that is fun, but at least I can look at the data and figure out what's going on and why.
It makes sense.
It makes sense to me, and I'm a lot less nervous about things when it makes sense. And so I'm kind of hanging my hat on that. And obviously we don't know. We don't have a crystal ball what's going to happen in the future. But, you know, looking at things and seeing fundamentals come back into the picture and fundamentals being important makes me feel more comfortable about what things are going to look like going forward.
You know, how much of this is part of your role as managing expectations of people coming in being fearful? And so you have to inject a little of the greediness into them or coming in greedy and you have to say, be a little fearful.
Well, so let's go back to the essence of the market, which is it's this auction, right?
Right.
So if you got 8 people buying and 2 people selling, this is a math equation. If you do what everybody else is going to do, you're not going to do well. Right. You know, and I think if you think about the nature of what we do, you know, we're, you know, as I always kind of say, amateur economists and we're finance people and whatever. And, you know, I'm looking around this table. We'll go back to kind of the metaphor of the committee meeting. And there's no other financial guys in the room. So other people have other perspectives, you know, but they aren't perspectives necessarily born of, you know, academic, economic, or finance thought. So I'm like, you know, where do you get your opinions and your influences from? You know, you're reading or you're whatever, your neighbor or your uncle or... But we get ours by doing research, you know, and I think, you know, part of the reason I feel perhaps differently than the numbers that consumer sentiment would tell you most people feel like is because I'm knee deep in the data and I'm looking ahead, I'm not looking behind. And you know, so you're back to managing people's expectations by changing their thought process. You know, don't look at that indicator that was really bad because that reflects what happened 6 months ago. Look at the other indicator, which maybe the stock market is, as you suggest, Steve, and say, this is about where we're going, not where we've been. And I think if you can give people those facts and keep them focused on doing that stuff, then you're going to have a much better chance of doing the right thing when you go and buy and sell stocks. You know?
And Brian, I would add that I think it's important to remind investors, and we do this all the time with our clients, what their money is for. They have different buckets of money. I mean, any money you think you need to spend in the next 6 to 12 months really shouldn't be in the market. I mean, if you got to redo your driveway or you got to put a roof on your cabin up north, I don't want your money. Keep it in the bank. And then you start talking about distributions and cash flow, money that you know you're going to need to live on. Put it in a conservative bond portfolio that's going to give you the certainty of knowing that you're not going to have to sell something at a huge loss to provide you with income over the next 6 to 8 to 10 years. And then what does that leave us with? The money that's in the market that just happens to be down right now, it's money you don't need tomorrow. It's probably money you don't need for quite a while, 5, 8, 10 years. Why are we worried about it? If anything, to me, this might be an opportunity to invest in some stocks or stock funds that will give us a good deal for what we're buying right now, so long as our time horizon is long enough, we're always going to look smart getting a good deal what we buy.
Yeah, and you know, Steve, I've been focusing a lot with clients on just drawing the line between risk, volatility, and uncertainty. Because we'll talk all the time about, you know, how risky do you want your portfolio to be? And really what we're talking about is how much volatility can you handle? And then from there, when we're talking about volatility, what causes that? And really that's uncertainty. And so right now there's a lot of questions out there that we still need answers that we don't know when we're going to get them. You know, to your point before, the Fed, how quickly are they going to raise? When are they going to be done? You know, when we look at some of the geopolitical risks out there, what's going to happen with oil in Europe and that flow from Russia? What's going to happen with food, wheat, and things coming out of Ukraine? We have a lot of questions that still need to be answered, but at least we can point us at things and say we're moving in the right direction of getting some of those questions answered. It might be yes, it might be no. We don't know what it'll be, but that's that uncertainty about some of these sort of looming items is really what's leading to the volatility right now.
Paige, one of the things that I've been seeing a lot about is the mention of recession, and are we in one? Have we been in one for a while? And all that stuff. It was interesting because I found this on Twitter. There's a White House blog that basically said that looked at recession, and you know the shorthand version of how a recession is it's two consecutive quarters of you know negative GDP growth. Next week we get the first look at the second quarter of GDP. Well, first quarter was down, so if we're looking at a down quarter of GDP. You know, does that mean we're in a recession? So this White House blog was basically saying, no, that's not, first of all, that's not the technical definition. The technical definition is a bunch of academic economists get together and they look at all sorts of factors. And a lot of the factors, it's interesting because this blog kind of took apart what those economists usually look at and said, if you look at those things, we're actually doing pretty well. You know, 80% of the GDP is made up of the consumer spending and fixed investments. And if you looked at those in the first quarter, even though the first quarter was negative 1.6%, if you look just at those two things, it was up at 3% mm-hmm. on an annual basis.
Yeah, and Joel, at the start of the month, you know, we don't get the official GDP reading until next week, but they're out of the Atlanta Fed. They do have a GDP Now reading.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start of the month, I dug probably a little deeper than I'd like to admit into those figures and into those figures and those numbers. And, you know, when you look at where they were projecting a negative 1% GDP, so my question is always, well, where is that coming from? It's not coming from personal consumption. So, you know, the consumer spending, it's coming primarily from residential investments. So, you know, we see mortgage rates going up. Mm-hmm. Naturally, people aren't going to be doing as much home investing. And it's inventories going back
inventories,
down.
This blog calls that one of the noisiest components of GDP growth.
Yep. Yeah, and those are the big components right now that we're seeing. And, you know, those are not big lasting issues that are going to, you know, stem through the rest of the economy and push us into the type of recession that we may have seen in the past. And so, you know, when you look at sort of these varying economic indicators that are out there, some things point positive, some things point negative, and it all kind of goes back to that we're in this moment of flux. So I think we're going to continue to see some volatility. We're going to continue to move, you know, one direction one week, the other the next until we get some of those answers. But, you know, to your point, I'm also getting the question of, are we in a recession? Are we going into a recession? And my answer to clients typically is, maybe, maybe not, but does it really make a difference about our long-term plan? And the answer is no.
That's so the point, right? And you know, this whole idea of kind of how do their attitudes get framed, and you know, what input do they have, and what are they reading or listening to or whatever. So I get this email earlier in the week, and it begins like many of our emails do. Given the poor state of the economy, what do you think about whatever? And I'm like, I read my like, first of all, I disagree with your characterization of the economy as being poor. You know, I mean, depending on what you look at, right? Like, unemployment's 0.1% above its historical low ever. You know, so if people are working and consumer spending is 2/3 of the economy and those people are able to do it, even if things cost a little bit more, it's hard for me to see the economy get too off base, right? But then you're like, well, but housing's, there are really some challenges in housing, you know, a big part of the economic data this week. And you're like, well, that comes, you know, that lands pretty close to my wallet. So, you know, these different factors come into, you know, to affect people and their attitudes in different ways, you know. But I'm still of the mindset that we're making progress here. And if we look around the corner, whether that's 3 or 6 or 9 months or whatever, I think a lot of these things will look better and will feel better. And you know, you don't want to wait till then to do something about it.
Yeah. And around the corner, wherever that corner is, there's a recession. And even if we're in one, but as you point out, Paige, I mean, recessions come and go, and how they affect your long-term plans is another
and
matter.
And sort of to Steve's point about the different baskets of assets and different classes we have within a portfolio, our goal is not to build a portfolio that is going to be the best all the time. The point is to build a portfolio that's going to let you make some money in the good times and get you through the bad times. And so, you know, I know, Brian, you talked about housing, and that's been a big thing right now. And all the headlines are talking about issues in the housing market. And, you know, really, that's an impact that we're seeing from the Fed raising interest rates. It's one of the quickest impacts that we see. But average home prices have still hit a record high as of June. It's up 13.4% in the last year. Yes, existing home sales have been falling. Volume of mortgages are the lowest that they've been in about 22 years, but properties are still selling very, very quickly. Average 14 days on the market when a new house gets listed, and that's the shortest amount of time since 2011. So much like in the other parts of the economy, we have this dichotomy where things look good, some things look bad, and overall, I'd rather have a bit of a neutral stance than running too hot and running too slow.
And Paige, to further on the housing stuff, we had numbers this week from the Commerce Department on housing starts and building permits. Both of them were down. Both of them, you know, are off recent highs, though. And both of them are ahead of where they were before the pandemic. And before the pandemic, both of those numbers were the highest they had been since before the Great Recession. So even though those numbers are trending down, they're still historically doing pretty well.
I'm going to go back, Paige, to what you said a minute ago about balanced portfolios and having different tools, and because we talk about that a lot. But I also want to not characterize that as a passive process. You know, and because I think sometimes when we talk about that stuff, it's like, oh, you have your 60% stocks and whatever. You know, it's not like that. I mean, I think 2 or 3 years ago, when things got overvalued, it was in your best interest to take some risk off the table and to take some profits and go to cash. And and to lower your risk exposure. And if you did that, you're in much better shape today than you were 2 or 3 years ago on a relative basis. And when the market comes back, you'll be even further ahead. Now, you know, it leads to the inevitable. Well, if I went from 60 to 50, why didn't I go to 60 to 20 if I knew the, you know, well, because we don't know and we know what the timing is. What I can tell you is when things get expensive, they're going to get cheaper someday. And when they get really expensive, that day's closer than it was. And I think it's the combination of having a strategy and being flexible with that strategy and leaning into the things or away from the things that are going to benefit you without doing it to the degree that you're predicting the future, because there's just too many things we don't know, you know?
Yeah, I've read a lot of articles lately talking about the 60-40 model being dead. That percentage changes and it's different for everybody. What hasn't died and what we do for our clients is we build diversified balanced portfolios. And so that balance is going to be different for everybody. The diversification is going to be different for everybody. When I think about my grandfather, his idea of a good time was buying 9% bonds
right. And
just riding them out. I mean, 80% of his money.
That sounds pretty good right now, right? If you can buy right 9% now bond, right?
But
careful,
I mean,
what you wish for. Yeah.
We all remember that that rule of thumb, take your age, subtract it from 100, and that's how much money you should have in stocks, right? So if you were 70 years old, 70 from 100 is 30. Hey, don't have more than 30% of your portfolio in stocks. Okay, that worked really well when bond yields were very, very high.
Well, we laughed. I mean, we talked about this in our research meeting, but there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about the new portfolio, you know, and what was the new portfolio? Well, in addition to stocks and bonds, it should be commodities and real estate and preferred stocks. And I'm like, well, that's the way I've been building portfolios for 25 years, you know, and it's like what's old becomes new, and what, you know, it's, we cycle through this stuff and we relabel it. And but I do think there are different asset categories that play a bigger or smaller role in your portfolio, and having the ability to make some strategic decisions about that based on where we're going, that's what's important, you know, and not to get so carried away with any one thing that you're going to look stupid at the end of the day. And that's what we're trying to do.
And Ryan, like you said, it's not, don't mistake this for a passive process.
Right.
The number one question I'm getting right now, other than are we in a recession or is a recession coming, is what should we do? And the answer I always give is, well, we've been doing it. We did it 6 months ago. We did it 12 months ago. We did it 18 months ago. Every time we meet, every time we review a portfolio, we're making these adjustments so that when things do get a little dicey, like they are right now, you don't need to have these knee-jerk reactions. And so really just reminding everyone that there's a lot of uncertainty out there, but that doesn't change the long-term plan.
Well, the uncertainty is what creates the opportunity. And
exactly.
Maybe that's the period we're in right now, looking ahead. So pretty good place to end this thing. Max, as you said, there's a lot going on. Go out there and do something fun.
Happy birthday, Paige.
Oh, thank you.
So it's your birthday.
Monday.
Oh, happy birthday. have fun this weekend and enjoy all there is to enjoy in Milwaukee. And it's supposed to be beautiful. And wear your earplugs if you're downtown. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Friday to do it again. Have a good weekend and a safe weekend, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.